And I wonder whether any of you remember the five Greek words that we have introduced to you last week on the word mind. And anybody want to try? Just say whatever Greek words you have remembered so far. Not necessarily in order. Five of them. What did I? Did I hear one word? Did somebody say something?
Nous.
Yes, nous. So news, right. News. Some of you brought your notes along. So, right, okay. A news, and then there is another word close to news, which is noia, right? Gnoia or something. Noia. And then there is three other words. One is a word free something. Thank you very much. That's right. He says El Shaddai. He was not here. That's right. How do you remember that? Right? Okay. Start with the P sound. Phronema. That's right. There's a phronema. And phronema is the one that is used in Romans 8, where it says that the mind, the carnal mind is an enmity against God. And the spiritual mind, of course, will be able to discern God's will. So phronema is a word used in Romans 8 and Romans 12. Then the word nous and noia are the two common words for mind and consciousness. Nous is like consciousness, normal consciousness on our thinking. Then there are two other words that seem to be related. One is dianoia. One is ennoia. Dianoia is used in Ephesians 1, verse 17 and 18, that the eyes of your understanding, that's the word understanding, dianoia, be enlightened or flooded with light. And ennoia is the one used in Hebrews 4, verse 12, where the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting asunder soul and spirit, and dividing the thoughts and intents of the heart. Thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the word ennoia. Now, just looking at the five words, you realize that they can be grouped into three categories. The word nous and the word noia, even through their sounds, come from one of the roots from the word nous or no noia. Nous, right? And from the word, the Greek word for I know is ginosko. So you notice the word no, nos, nous, which refer to the conscious section of our mind and thinking. We are on the fourth part series on understanding the mind. And nous, no. And then the other one is stands on itself, phronema, stands in itself. And that would be a second category. And the third category would be the word noia, N-O-I-A. And the Greek added the word E-N before that to make ennoia. And the word dia, which means true, dia, noia, to get the understanding in Ephesians 1, verse 17 and 18. So let's cluster them into three main categories for a certain reason. Because today, as we look at the fourth section, we want to relate to how our thinking process affects our faith life. Faith life. And faith is so important in our relationship with God that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible, not possible, completely no way you could please God without faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says those who come to God must believe that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him diligently. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. That means that if we don't exercise faith, whatever we do doesn't count. We will never hear the words that Jesus heard when he came out of the waters of baptism, and the Father declared, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But if you were not exercising faith, if there were any words you could hear, probably none, it would be, this is my son or daughter whom I am not pleased with. Because they have no faith. It's impossible to please him. But most probably, you will get a silence from heaven. Silence is sometimes an answer too. And there's God just telling you, he's not pleased with you. Now, don't be despaired if God hasn't spoken to you. You have not heard God for a long time, seen silence from heaven, that you wonder whether you're in disobedience. Today, we'll look at some of the areas which faith works in. And one of them is the area of time. And there is a process before it's complete. But faith is so important. And as we know, your thoughts, every single thought that you have in your mind is either filled with faith or filled with fear. There is no in between. Strange, isn't it? Either our thoughts are pleasing God or they are not. There's no in between. As far as our thought life is concerned. So every single thought in our life, we need to be careful of them, because these are what I call, we have covered, this is a four-part series. These, our thoughts are reality. They are either filled with faith or filled with fear. And mind you, we should be more discerning about every sentence we read, about every word that we come across. And if you're in a professional world, you have to, you know, keep in touch with certain news or papers or whatever. You need to always remember that some of the things that you're reading are filled with doubts and fear. If you watch a TV, you watch a movie, you need to constantly remember which part is fear, which part is, you know, doesn't contain fear. And which part may contain faith if there are some things that are coming through that God is trying to slip his word in somehow through some of the things going on. We need to discern. Many times we just take our thoughts for granted. We just take for granted. And we don't realize that if they are fear-filled, they cannot be faith-filled. It's either or. It's either darkness or light. There is no in-between. Either we are in the kingdom of darkness or we're in the kingdom of light, according to 1 John. There is no, either you're in God or not in God, in his kingdom. I'm not talking about salvation. Because there are some people who are saved, born again genuinely, who still walk in darkness. And we realize that they may not be at the level where they lose their salvation yet, but generally they're out of God's will and they're walking in darkness. And then to walk in the light, we need to be able to walk in line with God's word. And to be in line with God's word is to be filled with faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. That means every time you pray, and this, here's what we think about. Some of us spend time praying, and we encourage more prayer. But when you are used to spending 2-3 hours a day in prayer, you are concerned not so much about the quantity of prayer, but the quality of your prayer. Now, for some people, they haven't even got the quantity enough to look for the quality. Maybe they only spend about 5 minutes a day with God, and you're in trouble. Right. You need more quantity before you can talk about quality. But if you are spending time with God in prayer, and you're a sincere Christian walking as much as you know how in God, your concern is not just the quantity of prayer, but the quality of prayer. And it's not just what we pray or how much we pray. But at the end of the prayer, when you pray, is what you believe you just prayed. What you believe you just prayed. See, sometimes we pray a lot over a certain matter, and it's not so much a question of the quantity of prayer anymore. It's, do you believe what you prayed? And we need to ask ourselves that question, especially in an area that you've been praying a long time for. Because you can say, oh, my brother, I've been praying for this for 1 year. Yes, but do you believe what you prayed? Do you believe that God heard what you prayed? Because if you still don't have faith in that area, you can pray for another 5 years and not believe. You have to believe. And some of us came from the evangelical church and we moved into a charismatic move and we got baptized in the Spirit. And some of you may have come across what I call chronic seekers of the baptism in the Spirit. You know what the chronic seekers are? They've been seeking the baptism in the Spirit for years and years and years and years and they just never got it. And some people specialize in helping the chronic seekers. And when we talk about chronic seekers, let's talk about something simple we all understand. Salvation, born again. Wouldn't it trouble you if a person today come and said, I'm not sure whether I'm born again. I'm not sure whether I'm saved. Right? So you come to the person and say, have you said a sinner's prayer? Have you prayed for the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, into your life? Have you confessed all your life and sins before God and asked Jesus to cleanse you and accept Him as Lord and Savior? And say, yes. And they say, then you're saved. We tell them, then you're saved. But I don't feel like it. You are, according to God's word. And it would disturb some of us if a person says to us today in our modern era, in a modern church, and says, I've been seeking God for 1 year to be saved and I'm not saved yet. Wouldn't it trouble some of us? It would. But 1,000 years ago, it wouldn't trouble them because their revelation about salvation was in the dark ages. And they're not sure how they got saved. And they did all kinds of things to be saved, to be born again. So today we realize that being born again, we make it very simple. It's a person's heart. And of course, when 1,000 people come forward to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, only God knows what's going on in the heart of the people. If they genuinely ask Jesus to their heart, I would believe that you can be saved on the spot. You don't need to wait 10 years, 1 year. You don't need to say, oh, you must pray 3 hours a day, 52 days in one row. No, 52 weeks. 7 days a week, 365 days, then you surely are safe. We wouldn't do that to them because Jesus died on the cross for everyone to be safe. So if someone says, you know, I'm a chronic seeker of salvation, you get concerned because it's paid for by the Jesus Christ. But if someone says you're a chronic seeker for the baptism in the Spirit, I've been seeking the baptism in the Spirit for 5 years, haven't got it yet, then you get concerned too, especially if you understand that the baptism in the Spirit is received by faith, not just by emotions. And I have seen some wrong methods used. I'm sure you have seen some wrong methods used, right? And some of them are sincere preachers, but they use wrong methods for chronic seekers. I'll tell you, it's terrible. Here are the wrong methods. Remember, here are the wrong methods. I remember one time this preacher, and he came, and I was still a charismatic Baptist. I was in a Baptist church. It was charismatic. We invite this charismatic guy to speak in our Baptist church in Penang. He came, and there were all these chronic seekers. It means they've been praying a long time for baptism in the Spirit. And then they say, who wants to receive the baptism in the Spirit? They came forward. Remember, these are the wrong methods. And so, as he comes to them, he says, say after me. They say, okay, say after you. Repeat after me. La 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 la. La 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 la. Then go. La 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 la. Go. La 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 la. And he speed up their la la's to 100 miles per hour. And of course, it come out as funny sounds. And they go. La 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 la. Oh, you got it. You got it. And I was looking at it. Here was a Baptist young student pastor. Say, well, I haven't seen this before. But something in me tells me it's not in line with the Word of God. However, as you and I know, God sometimes bypasses our silly methods until he gets through to us. So some of them were so genuine and hungry for God, they actually did receive the baptism of the Spirit too. But that doesn't justify the method. Well, I knew something in me, tell me that's wrong. And so the Lala method.